Welcome to Ultimate Fighting Insight. I'm Ryan, and I'd like to talk about this weekend's huge events going on. There's Chris Daukaus versus Derek Lewis, which I've already touched up on episode one. Then there's also Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley, too. Tommy Fury was forced to pull out because of a bacterial infection in his chest and a broken rib. So, you know, Tyron Woodley stepped up to the plate and, you know, hopefully he can get it done for the MMA community. But Jake Paul is, from what we've seen, a pretty good boxer. So if Tyron Woodley can finally shake off those cobwebs or whatever's going on with him that's making him so hesitant and wait so much, you know, he could do something. We've seen Tyron Woodley hurt Jake Paul in the past. But I feel like Tyron Woodley is going to be extra motivated because there's a lot of money on the line. So if he beats Jake Paul, then that may force a trilogy fight with Jake Paul, in which case he would get even more money. So that's just a lot of motivation that is swinging in Tyron Woodley's favor. But this fight is short notice. I don't know if Tyron Woodley has been training this whole time. So hopefully he's been training good. But yeah, that fight should be exciting. I feel like I want to say Tyron Woodley wins that fight, but I don't think it'll be by knockout. I just have a feeling he's going to pick his shots more, but they're not going to be huge power shots. He's going to be smart with it, because if he hasn't been training, then his cardio is not going to be as good as it normally would be. So, you know, that's what we get out of it. He's probably going to be more conservative, but also not wait so much. He's going to be pressing forward, throwing more, but not as hard. So if Tyron Woodley wins, then yeah, we'll get the Jake Paul trilogy, hopefully. And then if Jake wins, maybe in the future we'll see Tommy Fury or him fight another professional boxer. So who knows? You know, this fight is kind of a toss-up in my opinion, though. Now, with that being said, just yesterday, Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz had a little bit of a thing on Twitter. As far as Twitter things go, you know, people can say, yeah, well, let's do the fight, but, you know, that tends to not happen. Nate Diaz doesn't think Dustin Poirier would do it, but Dustin Poirier said, let's go. So he says he's serious, and, apparently, people are saying the fight could happen for January because they were talking about next month. Literally next month. That's UFC 270, which is the same night Ciryl Gane and Francis Ngannou fight, as well as Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. The rematch between them two. So should that fight happen? If Nate Diaz shows up, he could do exactly what Oliveira did. Maybe not as slick, maybe not as smooth. It'll probably be a war, but I feel like he could pull off the same feat that Oliveira did. But Dustin Poirier is also still extremely powerful. He wasn't beat up too bad in the Oliveira fight, so I feel like he'll recover very quickly, and, you know, the activity might be good for him. Although I don't know. He has been pretty active. You know, and he's showed up most times except for Oliveira lately. So, I know, you know, maybe he should take a break, or maybe the quick turnaround is what he needs. And especially with a money fight with Nate Diaz, it's a lot of motivation if he wins. So that's good. But that fight's probably most likely going to be at 170, especially if it's happening next month. I doubt Dustin Poirier wants to make that cut. Same with Nate Diaz. But it should be exciting. And when you mention Nate Diaz, you can't forget to mention Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is sitting there at 190 now. He looks like an absolute unit now, like short but extremely large and built now. Can he make that 155 drop anymore like he's saying he can? He's saying he wants to fight Oliveira, but, you know, if he's sitting at 190, how is he supposed to make 155, especially with his type of muscle mass? Like, Dustin Poirier weighed 186, but didn't look like he has that much muscle like McGregor has. So I really don't think Conor McGregor will make that 155 drop anymore. But, you know, how well does he fare at 170? Now that he's put on this size, this muscle, you know, could he be a contender at 170? Well, I think the question comes down to cardio rather than his actual skill set. We know he's really good. It's just whether or not his cardio can hold up. You know, we've seen McGregor fail with cardio before, and now that he's extra big, more muscle means more energy, more oxygen needed to run those giant muscles that he's got now. So at 170, if he can keep his cardio up, you know, he'd definitely be a contender there, but, you know, we can only sit here and contemplate till it actually happens. Now, with the result of Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz, could we see McGregor versus Diaz 3 at 170? Potentially, because Diaz has been wanting to be more active, and now McGregor is now at a, I guess, a better size to be at 170. He's not going to be so small. So I feel like we could see that fight very soon. Now, since we were talking about Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz being on UFC 270, we can't forget about the Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane fight. So my early prediction for that fight, I feel like Ciryl Gane is, now, if Francis Ngannou takes a conservative approach and waits for Ciryl Gane, he could catch him, but at the same time, he's going to spend a lot of energy trying not to get hit by Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane keeps up a huge pace, so that's going to take a lot of energy off of Ngannou, in which we don't know if he can go all five rounds at Ciryl Gane's pace. But if Francis Ngannou does what he normally does and goes in there and swarms him, who knows, his size could overpower Ciryl and, you know, he could dominate. It's a tricky fight to call. Ngannou definitely has an edge in power, but Ciryl Gane has an edge in speed and precision. Now, ground game, you know, that's kind of a toss-up. You know, Francis Ngannou's first few tough fights was on the ground by submission, and we've seen how much better Francis Ngannou's gotten with his takedown defense against Stipe Miocic. So, you know, will we see him go to the ground with Ciryl Gane? Is Ciryl Gane going to be able to grapple with Francis Ngannou with his size? And Ngannou's got submissions, so who knows? If Gane wins, well, that just means that just opens up a whole new spectrum of fights for the heavyweight belt, because Ciryl Gane is a whole other kind of animal than Francis Ngannou, and he's already beaten Derrick Lewis, and I feel like he's too fast and too precise for Chris Daukaus. Then there's Curtis Blaydes. Now, Curtis Blaydes would probably be Ciryl Gane's biggest problem, besides Ngannou or even Stipe Miocic. So, you know, that could open up something for Stipe to get back at a less powerful guy. You know, sure, he's fast, but, you know, Stipe is extremely skilled and has tremendous cardio. If Ngannou wins, well, looks like we'll be looking at whoever wins between the Derrick Lewis and Chris Daukaus fight, especially considering Derrick Lewis, even though he did lose by TKO against Ciryl Gane, he does have a win over Francis Ngannou, which would, you know, back his case a little bit on whether or not he deserves the rematch. Chris Daukaus, though, like I said before, he might not be able to get that immediate title shot because of the fact that he is still only ranked 6. And normally, guys, they have that one fight, they get in there, they have one more fight prior, and then, you know, the top five has been a slippery slope in the heavyweight division. You know, guys that show up, they tend to fall right back down with these top guys. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. And then early prediction for Davis and Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno too. Brandon Moreno dominated Davis and Figueiredo in their second fight. I don't know if it's because of the first fight, Davis and Figueiredo kind of was hesitant because of the fact that Brandon Moreno stuck with him for so long. So maybe that had a factor, but I feel like Brandon Moreno gets it done again. Maybe not as easy as he did, but I feel like he does get it done again and remains the flyweight champion. And should Brandon Moreno win, who does he fight next? I feel like the next fighter that would be able to fight for the title at flyweight would probably be between Askar Askarov, considering he's got a draw with Brandon Moreno, as well as Alexandre Pantoja, because of the fact that he was the last person to actually beat Brandon Moreno. So, you know, those two are in the air. Kai Kara France, sure, he just probably broke into the top five after beating Cody Garbrandt, but I feel like he's got another fight ahead of him. So that's probably what we're looking at for the flyweight champion. If Davis and Figueiredo wins, though, then we will probably see the rematch or a trilogy fight between the two, and then that'll make things interesting. But thank you for listening to this bonus episode. I will see you very soon with a new episode. Bless up.